Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9-3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Continuing with Associate Professor of Social History at Oxford University, Jonathan Healy. His new book, The Blazing World, is a new history of revolutionary England, 1603 to 1689. It is now 1646. Charles I, the regent of England and Ireland, this is everything we understand, the power of the king, surrenders to the Scots called the Covenanters, because he's being pursued by the New Model Army led by Thomas Fairfax and Oliver Cromwell. Jonathan, we go immediately to the personalities of these leaders of the New Model Army, because that will be determinative of this regicide upon us. What is the New Model Army, and what is Fairfax to it? What is Cromwell to it at this point? Thank you.
Well, the New Model Army was the attempt by Parliament to reorganize their forces, because they had found themselves in a sort of winning position in the Civil War that had taken place, and then they'd blown it. They'd made a mess of it, and they decided that the part of the problem was that the commanders, particularly the Earls of Essex and the Earl of Manchester, were not sufficiently committed to full victory. They wanted to sort of, you know, win the battles against the king and then go back to the negotiating table, whereas actually what needed to be done was the king needed to be beaten completely in the battlefield. And Essex and Manchester were seen as being too wet, if you like. So Parliament basically had them fired. And put in their place commanders who were felt to be more effective and more committed and more dynamic. They settled upon a sort of minor Yorkshire gentleman called Sir Thomas Fairfax, who was a, you know, perfectly solid general, politically fairly kind of, you know, non-committed, and therefore able to sort of unify various factions. Various other people, of whom the most important was the eventual commander of the horse, so the cavalry, Oliver Cromwell. Now, Cromwell is a very interesting character, sort of, you know, middling kind of farmer from the east of England, and a very committed Puritan, but someone who had what we might as well call a kind of a more democratic approach to the military than was prevalent at the time, in that he didn't promote people based on their social status. He promoted people based on their commitment and their effectiveness. I would rather have a plain russet-coated captain, he said, that knows what he fights for and loves what he knows, than that which you call a gentleman and nothing else. The idea is that he wants people who are effective and committed. And they, in the field, Fairfax and Cromwell are a sort of, you know, a bit of a dream team, really. And they are able to, with this, you know, effectively funded army, to chase the royalists from the battlefield. And the big kind of set piece battle is in the summer of 1645. It's at Naseby in Northamptonshire, where the royalists are routed. By early 1646, the king is in a desperate position. Eventually, his capital at Oxford is besieged by Fairfax. His army's falling apart. So he once again goes out, you know, slips away in disguise, just as he had with Buckingham in 1623, slips past the parliamentarian forces and makes his way up to Nottinghamshire, where he surrenders to the Scottish army, which is at that point providing support to the parliamentarians. The question then becomes, you know, what kind of settlement comes next? But the military side of the Civil War has, at least for now, has ended.
There will be a second Civil War.
Will.
In which the New Model Army takes the field again against Scots, led by a man named Hamilton. The Royalists form up to defend the king again. The battles continue, the bloodletting continues, but we're building to an understanding of Parliament asserting itself more and more with the new model army. And we need to understand why it was that Parliament believed so much in this challenge to the king. What was the end result? And that takes us to Parliament's thinking about what are called remonstrances. Remember the grievances brought by Edward Coke against King James I. Well, Henry Ireton is an important player here who will die early in his life. But I discovered him through you, Jonathan. What does Ireton represent now? What do we learn from him and his remonstrances?
Well, what happens after the Civil War is that basically there are multiple attempts to try and make peace with the king. No one, or not very many people at this point really think, well, we should just get rid of the monarchy full stop and just, you know, have a republic. Most people think, well, we need to make some kind of peace. The trouble is that on the parliamentarian side, there are different visions of what that peace will look like. And they partly divide along religious grounds. So on the one hand, you have Presbyterians who are still, although they don't want bishops, they still believe in a fairly kind of, structured and socially conservative church. And then on the other hand, you have independents who are basically sort of congregationalists, and they are much more sort of, you know, much more interested in sort of religious toleration and much more sort of bottom up. And on those two sides, there are sort of different visions of where power lies between Parliament and the people. And then in 1647, because of this kind of conflict between Presbyterians and independents, the new model army engages in politics in a big way. It basically kind of marches to London. It occupies London. And there's a moment when a sort of conservative crowd invade Parliament and throw kind of street ordure in the speaker's face, and as a result of that, the new model army comes into London and restores order. And then at that point, the new model army then starts writing down its own constitutional thoughts and putting them to the king as a potential settlement. And the man who does this, the man who's most sort of central to writing down the constitutional thoughts of the new model army, is Henry Ireton. He's a minor gentleman from Nottingham. He's an associate of Cromwell. He eventually becomes Cromwell's son-in-law. And he's a very kind of profoundly sophisticated political thinker. The trouble is, from Ireton's point of view, is that in late 1647, he is outflanked from the left, because in the aftermath of the Civil War, there's a sort of big movement in London and in the ranks of the new model army for democracy, for manhood suffrage, whereby all men would get the vote. And it sort of ends with these kind of set piece debates where the army says, right, okay, let's get everyone together and we'll discuss the future of the constitution. And they do this in a small town called Putney, just down the river from London. And you have on the one side the Democrats, the Levellers, and on the other side, Henry Ireton, who is sort of saying, well, you know, we can't give democracy to people who don't have property because they don't have a fixed interest in the country. Anyway, whilst that's all going on, Charles the King escaped and managed to make a treaty with the Scots, who of course had been his enemies, and then they invaded England again, this time on the Royalist side. The new model army was forced to take to the field again, and they defeated the King and the Scots once more. So that leaves them in a position where they are, so at the end of 1648, they've been forced to fight again. Lots more people have been killed than were necessary, because the king won't sit down and agree to a peace treaty and a new constitution. So Ireton at that point becomes a sort of almost a kind of firebrand radical, pushing the idea that the safety of the people is the supreme law. Salus populi suprema lex. It's kind of Latin a dictum. And as part of that, he writes this this kind of fiery remonstrance, basically saying, you know, the king must be brought to trial, otherwise the people are going to be ruined, because he will come back again with another army and there'll be another civil war. And it's that leads directly to the central kind of moment in this century, which is the putting of the king on trial by representatives of Parliament.
It's 1649. The new model army is now a political actor of great power. Parliament is reduced. It's called the Rump Parliament. The trial of Charles Stuart takes place in Westminster Hall. It's an event that still resonates four centuries later. John Cook is the prosecutor, and the charge is murder, wanton murder. Charles refuses to plead, but they put testimony from witnesses on anyway because they want this to be a public trial. This is great risk they're taking. Are they aware of it, Jonathan, to kill the king?
Oh, hugely so, hugely so. I mean, they realize that this is a very shocking, shocking moment, and that as much as a very, very large proportion of the English population were in favor of, you know, parliamentary power and supported the parliamentarians in the Civil War, a very, very small number of people actually believed that the king could be put on trial or that England should become a republic. So they absolutely knew how dangerous this was. It is quite interesting to sort of think about what happens in London, because, you know, throughout the 1640s, there's constant popular upheaval in London. There's, you know, there's protests, there's petitioning, there's riots, there's everything. And yet during the king's trial, there isn't. Now, one way that we can read this is that there's a whopping great army in the middle of London, and people don't want to, you know, put their heads above the parapet. But another one is to say that, well, maybe London is broadly in support of putting the king on trial. And the regicides do later say, well, look, you know, we didn't just kill him in a corner. You know, think of Richard II, you know, think of medieval kings who were sort of murdered in castles and, you know, outside. We did it in public. We did it in the name of the people. And, you know, it was, as I say, they reported on it. There was press reports. The execution was public. It was something which was done in the name of the people. The irony being that most of the people probably wouldn't have supported it.
The king is dead. We turn now to what comes next, which requires the Instruments of Government, written by a man named John Lambert, when we come back. The Blazing World, A New History of Revolutionary England, 1603 to 1689. Jonathan Healy is the author. I'm John Lambert.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.